Right, folks, we need to start. A couple of notices first. There are plenty of these leaflets. If you can take them away and see they're distributed to anybody and anywhere about next Sunday afternoon. There's this pile here. They're quite close to each other. You have to separate. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know how many are there, but Graham, can you take them over to Stuart?
Thank you.
And
did you use up all those envelopes with that CD on?
Eh?
Did you use up all the envelopes with the CD in?
No.
Did you, but you might have a spare one or something.
Yeah.
If I could have a spare one, please. I mean, I've lent mine to someone who's in the church.
Right, there we are. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Now then, there's a lot more here than you might think, because they're very close to each other, but they're lovely notices, and I've got another 100 in the bag over there, so. And it's for next week, so if they're not taken soon, they'll be wasted. The other thing I want to share with you is these. These are on the table. I brought them last week and forgot to mention it. Request for prayer. You put your name and your request for the prayer. And it does say on the bottom, you can say whether you want it included on the service sheet, yes or no, because you don't have to. But we will be praying in the week for whoever or whatever you put, if you want one of these. You may have a special person or thought for prayer. All right. Right, so let us start. Next Sunday morning, incidentally, we're having a service here before the afternoon one. And it is Pentecost, the day when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to be really alive next week in our worship, so that the Holy Spirit knows we want the Holy Spirit working in this church, all right? So we start now with Out of My Bondage, Sorrow and Night, Jesus I Come.
Glorious stain of your cross.
Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, we do come to you. We come to you this morning to seek your forgiveness. Lord, forgive us if we have failed you in any way. And help us, Lord, to be more like you. We thank you, Lord, because you are such a wonderful God. Your love never fails. Your guidance never fails. You are always there for us. We thank you for the privilege and power of prayer. And we know that you love to hear our prayers. But first this morning, we want to say thank you. We want to praise your name for all that you are and for all that you do. You are a wonderful God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we adore you, we love you, and we want to do more to show our thanks by the way in which we live our lives. We want to give our lives wholly to you, to serve you, but not to serve you in the way that we choose, but to serve you as you require. We know that you have a purpose and plan for each one of us, and Lord, we ask that you would help us, that we might show our thanks and our praise by living for you in accordance with your will. So, Lord, in our lives, in our church family, may your will be done at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now it's the reading. Is it? Have I come too early? Oh yes, sorry. For the joys and for the sorrows, I beg your pardon.
14-22. To the church in Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you for being willing to read that, Rachel. Stephen was going to read it originally, but he and one other are at North Tynmouth Church this morning. So... we'll remember them in prayer too. But now we're going to sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. but that thy blood was shed for me. Once again to our Lord in prayer. We come, do we not, in believing prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we come now in prayer we come to share the many thoughts, the many hopes, the many desires that we have. Lord, you created a wonderful and perfect world. But as the years have gone by, many things have happened. And many things have happened that have caused you, we are quite sure, to be disappointed. Lord, you wanted people to live together joyfully, peacefully, and yet, Lord, right soon after the beginning, things began to be spoilt. Lord, we know that you are the one and only true God. And we know that you are the Lord for all, the Lord of all. And yet we know that some people think that you're only their Lord, but you're not. You're Lord of all you created, and it is your desire that people should know and receive you into their hearts. And that's why, Father, you sent your Son. You sent him into the world that we might know you, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we rejoice in what you have done. And we thank you for the teaching that Jesus brought. We thank you for how he revealed exactly how you wanted us to live, to be your faithful people. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the forgiveness that comes. We thank you that Jesus died as the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you that if we respond, if we're willing to repent and offer our lives in your service, we receive that wonderful gift of salvation. It's a wonderful gift. And we know that the Lord Jesus, after dying on the cross, rose again as he had promised. And then we know that after he's ascended into heaven, we receive the very gift that had been promised, the gift of the Spirit to guide us, equip us, and to uphold us in our daily lives. Lord, we thank you for the message of your love. We thank you for the church throughout the world. And we pray, Lord, that the message of your love will reach more and more people as the days and the years go by. We pray for leaders who are in authority. We pray, Lord, that they might know your wisdom, that they may know your will for your world. And Lord, we pray for all those who help people in need. We thank you for all the organizations. We thank you for all the volunteers. Lord, you are a wonderful God, and we know that nothing will stop your advancement. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us victory over the evil one, that we would resist temptation, that we would resist anything that would spoil our service for you. For Lord, we enjoy coming and being your disciples. We pray, Lord, for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray for all in authority. Lord, we pray for the service next Sunday. the open air service at Barton Primary. Lord, we pray that as we come and as we share with people, some people who may not even know you, but as we come and share and celebrate our thanksgiving for the service of our Queen, may it be quite plain, Lord, that our Queen believes in you, serves you, and is one of your servants. May we all realize that without you, Lord, there would not be the Queen that we have, for she has given her life in your service. And we pray that the truth of that message might go far and wide through the open air service next week. We pray for our own family and friends. We pray for ourselves. Lord, we all need you. We need your guidance. We need your love. We need your strength. We need your resources. And so, Lord, we pray that you would answer our personal prayer. We're going to be quiet for a moment, Lord, so that you can fill our thoughts and minds, and we can share with you in the quietness of the moment our own prayers. Finally, Lord, we pray for all who enter into these premises. We pray for them. We pray for their future. And we pray, Lord, that they will, in your time, come to know and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. More about Jesus, more of the grace.
More of his love will die.
So we come to the church at Laodicea. It's the last of the seven churches. As scripture shows us, it is known as the foolish church. And we'll soon see why that is. The Laodicean church was blind to its own needs, and it was unwilling to face the truth. And yet surely we know that honesty is the beginning of true blessing. Because as we admit what we are, as we confess our sins and receive from God all that we need, if we want God's best for our lives and for our church's lives, we must be honest with God. And let God be honest with us. And this fellowship was not like that at all. The Lord demonstrates here four areas of need in the church that we're looking at today. They had lost their enthusiasm for the Christian life. That's one. And there are three spiritual temperatures for a church. There is a church that can be a heart on fire for God, a church that has a cold heart, or a church who has a lukewarm church. And we see the criticism that in Scripture was made of this particular church. Number two, they not only lost their enthusiasm, they'd lost their values. Now, if we remember the church at Smyrna, they thought itself poor when in fact it was really rich. Whereas the Laodiceans boasted that they were rich when in fact they were very poor. Poor spiritually. Perhaps here we have a hint of why that church declined spiritually. Number three, they had lost their vision. They could not see reality. We might say that they were living in a fool's paradise. They just had no vision, it had gone. Number four, they had lost their witness. There was no divine commendation given to the church. You know, if a church loses its witness, where are we? Why is the church being founded? The church of which Jesus is the head was founded to be God's people sharing his love with others. And if there's no witness, well, why should the church exist? Of course, the church were busy commending themselves. They thought they were glorifying God. But in reality, they were disgracing his name. Spiritually speaking, it was as if they were walking around naked. They'd lost everything. You lose your vision, then you lose your purpose, don't you? The church was an independent church that thought they were really something. But they were not abiding in the Lord or drawing any power from the Lord. They thought they had a successful program, oh yes. But they were being unsuccessful. because without trust in the Lord and without any apparent desire to witness for God, they could not reveal true and successful witness. Yes, this is the last of the seven churches. And it's God's x-ray, I want to put it like that. It's God's x-ray given to us that we might examine our own lives and ministries, our lives as individuals and our lives particularly as churches. Judgment is going to come to the world, but at first it will begin among God's people. In these letters, we find encouragement as well as rebuke. The Lord has used these seven churches to teach us so much. May the Lord help us to hear what the Spirit is saying today to the church and to the individuals in our churches. I want to close by just sharing with you some experiences that I have had. The first goes back to the first church that I pastored, which was in Fulham. And I got to know one of the ladies. She lived in a house. It wasn't hers. It belonged to the landlord. And would you believe it, even in 1977, she had gas lights. And he had refused to put electricity into the house. But she was a lovely lady. She came to church. She loved people. She loved her Lord. And we were so disturbed that the house was looking a bit disrespectful. And so a group of young people came and decorated her church. She particularly got to know two of them. And one of them, she told me, "Oh, I don't know that he knows the Lord," she said, "but I pray for him." My ministry moved on. I went to the next church in West Ealing in London. And often, as we are in ministers, we are invited back to our church, old church, to go and preach. And I went back there. And this lady said to me years later, "How is," and I forget his name, but let's say, "How is Brian? How is Brian getting on? Has he come to faith? I'm still praying for him every day." Now that was years later. She remembered his name, but much more than that, she prayed for him. And I was able to contact her a short time after that visit to tell her that he'd come to faith. So never give up praying for someone because you think they're not going to accept. That was a good lesson, I think, for anyone in any church. Then there's a chap called Vic Jacobson. He was the one that founded the organisation called Hope. I think there's more than one called Hope Now, or Hope Now, and so on. But anyway, he founded the first organisation called Hope. He had been in prison for burglary and assault. He eventually came to the Lord through a Gideon Bible, and came to the church where Eunice and I were married, and he lived with one of the couples in our church. They were very strict. Oh, he had to do this, he had to do that. They gave him some nice things, but they had strict rules. He had to be in by 9 o'clock at night, and it's terrible rules. and he just found it hard to accept. His life seemed to be unsuitable to them. And you know, that's a lesson we've got to learn. If you're going to host someone, host them in the name and power and love of God, surely. Well, in the end, he decided, well, I think they told him he would be better to leave. You may not be surprised to know that he came to live with Eunice and I. But, they even asked back the things they'd given him. How can we be so foolish in the way that we can treat some people? He went on to have a very powerful ministry. Another one affects Graham and me. See, it's hard. Before Graham became a Christian, he and other young people I used to meet, but Graham seemed to want a lot of my time. And there came the time when at Earl's Court there was one of these international gospel meetings, and I offered to be one of the counsellors, Billy Graham and the whole thing. And so every night I was there, and he said, can't you see me? I said, no. Why? I'm going to the Billy Graham evangelistic crusade. Oh. In the end, he got so fed up, he said this to me. Well, can't I come? Now, shouldn't have I invited him? Where was my witness? I failed. I had an opportunity. Well, he did come with me, and he eventually came to the Lord. But, you know, we need to be so careful, don't we? I was so busy in going counselling that I hadn't thought of inviting him. Oh, dear. We can make mistakes, my friends, very easily. The next one, lady called Cynthia. Some of you will have heard this before. Cynthia came with her son and two daughters from South Africa or Jamaica. Oh, Congo, that's it. Oh, dear. This was many years too. I'm getting old. Anyway, I'll never forget these people. Her son was 14, but looked like a child of four. Very, very disabled. Treatment on his body had been badly sorted in the Congo. The time came when there was unrest in Congo, and so Cynthia got out. The father was involved in the violence, so she was happy to leave him and brought the boy and the two girls. It would have been easy for us to have ignored the tremendous need that that family were going to need. You know, at that time, refugees were not easily accepted. This would have been perhaps 1980s, the latter part of 1980s, and we had in the borough of Hillingdon a refugee society that we founded. We also had in Uxbridge, part of Hillingdon, a Conservative MP, and Hayes, still part of the same area, a Labour one. And do you know how much surprised I was that when I sought to help this couple, this family, both of those MPs joined together, put their politics aside. And it's a long story, so I'm going to cut it short, but in the end, Cynthia and her family all became citizens and they were given a special house. Now, in the area, there's a big housing list. So, you know, people would have frowned if they were given a house on the list. So what did the two MPs and myself do? Through the Refugee Society that we founded, we spoke to the British Airways and they gave the money to build a house specially for this family. You know, some people were frowned upon, but what happened to that family? Cynthia was baptized, her two daughters were baptized. What could you do with Ben? Well, I asked Cynthia to, he wanted to be baptized. I asked her to go into the baptistry and we would hand Ben to her and he would be baptized too. Not by total immersion, but he would be baptized. He came and visited Eunice and I only a week or so ago. From London, he was going to Newquay, and he had his baby with him. Now, we never thought that he would have a baby, but he has a car that it opens from the back, and he just, beautiful vehicle he's got, and he just drives it straight up to the steering wheel, and he can drive. He went to university in London, he worked in the city in London, and then one day at some Christian meeting, he met a young lady called Mayfair, and they were married. And they came and brought and showed us their little baby. Well, perhaps I'm ignorant, but I would never have thought they could have had a baby. They are now both together doing Christian work. They've devoted their life to it. We must never give up, must we? You know? But there we are. And the last one was another bloke that came to us. This was in our church in Hillingdon. We had an Alpha course. We decided not to have just one meal in our Alpha course, but one at every meeting. And we had it in the manse. And this chap Edwin came, but he only came for the food. That was all he was interested in. And I know some people thought, well, why are you bothering with him? But he came to faith. He became a good Christian servant. He became a BMS missionary. And now he's back in his first church with a wife and with two children. And he works full time for Tear Fund. So never give up, my friends. That, I think, is the message for us. The church at Laodicea did give up. They lost their whole vision. We need never to give up, however hard the situation seems to be. God bless you all. We're going to now, and you know, we couldn't exist without this. I couldn't speak God's word without it. None of those people I've just talked about could achieve what they've done. None of us can achieve what we do without this. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. speaking. Those promises are what keep us going.
Grace?
the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm. Yeah.